My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Hello out there.
Hello, Kyle.
You know, that was a tough one last night.
It's a tough one, but man, there's a lot of crybaby stuff going on. Like, just watching the reaction of the fans during losses is stunning to me still. Like, what are the expectations, Kyle?
To win?
To win.
We set them yesterday on this show. We were like, hey, they should probably pull these dudes out. Look who's not playing. We played a game where we said, who's going to play for the Miami Heat?
I get it. But when a team doesn't win, and then you're watching the game, and like, I don't know how you walk away from that game going, oh, they didn't play hard. Oh, they didn't do this or that. Like, I don't think that was it. I think, number one, you ran out of gas. And that happens. It's not an excuse.
I have a hard time with the ran out of gas thing because they overcame a 20-point fourth quarter deficit.
Yeah. They got a second wind, Kyle. They got a second wind. No, I just like, I'm watching the game and I'm like, okay, look. You got punched in the third quarter. You got punched hard.
Yeah,
and it was all predicated on a very strange substitution from Eric Spoelstra, which I thought, oh, well, that's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And just to reveal everything, I blame Kyle 100% for this loss. This one
Whoa.
Is all on Kyle.
Whoa!
It's all on Kyle.
Why?
What did you say about Kevin Love in the first quarter?
Eyes washed. He looked a little washed.
I blame Kyle because what did I respond?
You're like, yeah, until he drops 9-7 in 15 minutes.
Yeah, and what does he do? 19-7.
You were close.
When they put in Kevin Love in the third quarter alongside Bam Adebayo, mm-hmm. and not instead of Bam, it set off the balance of the game, and the Kings didn't respond well. They didn't know how to respond, and Kevin Love just kept running over people and not getting called for it, and it was brutal to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But the Kings took too long to make an adjustment, and by the time they did make the adjustment, it was already like a 16 or 18 point game.
It's yeah.
like, boom. Like, yeah. And Kevin Love is a multi-time all-star. Like, he's old now, but he can go out there for 15 minutes and give it to you.
Apparently,
That's what happened.
The first play I saw him, he played 40 seconds in the first quarter. And he had a turnover in that span. And then it felt like every time Kevin Love got the ball, the first 2 minutes he was in the game, it's like, man, this is just not like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like this is their backup center option tonight.
Mm.
Like, this is really what they're working with down low. And then he just turned into prime Kevin Love for the other 13 minutes he played.
Yeah, it was just like, shocking.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I miss by me. Maybe I let the gray hair fool me.
I was surprised to see that he's averaging like almost 9 points a game coming into the night. And like, so it's not like he hasn't had good games.
Yeah, he's just kind of there.
Well, yeah, he is just kind of.
Here's what I thought.
8 years, he's just kind of been there.
Right. Here's what I thought
okay.
last night about Kevin Love specifically, and we'll get into the Kings. But what I thought last night was, hey, here's a guy who doesn't play very much for this team. He has a very specific role. He's going to grab some rebounds. He's going to hit some threes, but he's a traffic cone on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not a super impactful offensive player anymore. However, when he comes into that game and has to play what looks like is going to be more minutes than normal in a bigger role than he normally has, it's like, man, I don't think he can do that anymore. And like I said, swing and a miss. Bad take by me.
It's okay. It's my bad. So we can all blame Kyle.
I would feel worse if Jaime Jaquez hadn't had a 20-point second half.
Yeah.
And if Bam Adebayo hadn't had a 17-point first half.
It was the physicality that the Miami Heat played with that was the difference. It was Jaime Jaquez literally running through people and Bam Adebayo just enforcing his will and getting to the rim again and again. Kevin Love barreling through people.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, that was the Miami Heat's only option. Their only option in this game was to try to out-physical a team on the second night of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they did it. And then for a brief moment, the Kings were like, okay, we have to make an adjustment. Let's just speed everything up and run past them. And boom, boom, boom. Plus, the Kings struggle with their zone. It's tough. You say, well, why don't you know their zone? It's like, well, because you play that team twice a year.
Right.
They're the only team in the league that runs that specific zone. It's very different. And you didn't have time to prep for it.
Mm-hmm.
All you had was a walkthrough. And you didn't even really have that because you're on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yep.
The team doesn't have a shoot-around. They don't do any of that stuff. And so you didn't really even have time to prep for them. All of the emphasis the last 3 days for the Sacramento Kings was on beating the Los Angeles Clippers. So, like, look, I don't think I'm making excuses here. I think I watched a team that was physical, that they were up against a wall and came out punching.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
Was you have to match that intensity.
Yeah.
And through that stretch of the third quarter, Sacramento didn't. And that was the biggest difference to me, the glaring difference. The Kings are more talented than that version of the Heat we saw last night. And I struggle with the, like, I understand back-to-backs are hard. Like, that's why teams don't like them. But I watched this very same Sacramento team not 2 weeks ago walk into Denver on the second night of a back-to-back in elevation and go beat the defending champs and figure out a way to win that game.
Yeah.
So that's where I have a hard time being like, well, that's just, you know, it's a back-to-back. So that just doesn't quite track to me. The thing that jumped out to me and the biggest takeaway I had from this game, and this is not, I'm not punting on the Kings this season. I'm not saying that, oh, they're back or, oh, they're not back or whatever it is. But the glaring difference between those two teams last night, and I've said this before about the Kings, is I feel like Sacramento needs some dogs. And I don't mean that phrase like joke. I just don't have a better word for it. Some guys who just bring that intensity.
Oh, yeah.
Just play in and play out. Miami, every player on Miami looked like last night was game seven of the finals. Whether they are really good NBA players or not. Like Jaime Jaquez is gonna be really good for a long time.
Oh, he is.
Bam Adebayo is really, really good. But outside of that, like Caleb Martin can play for sure. But like, Haywood Highsmith, that's a fine player. But, I mean, he approached last night's game with an intensity that allowed him to play probably a little bit above his head.
Yeah.
And if the Kings had two guys with that intensity, I think it dramatically changes what we think about this very same team.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, if I'm the Kings, we talk about what would you give up for Mikal Bridges? What would you give up for OG Anunoby? Man, I'll tell you, I would give up a hand, I don't know, two, three first-round picks for Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah.
That dude right there is a type of player that they need. He's the gritty glue dude. And when I've said this forever, go get me a Martin twin. I don't care which one. Just go get me either Martin twin.
I'll take any Martin twin.
You need that 6'6", 6'7", versatility, guy who plays multiple positions, guy who does all the dirty work. You need that type of player. And I know some people are like, hey, why didn't they throw Kessler Edwards out there? Kessler Edwards is not that type of player.
He might
be a defensive guy, but he's not a five-tool, you know, like the toolsy guys.
Like, he's built like that kind of player. Like, he has the right build, but the skill set is not the same.
Yeah, it's the jack-of-all-trades guy. You know, jack-of-all-trades, master of none, that the Kings lack. Mm-hmm. What they have is a bunch of guys who have, like, masteries in offensive skills.
Yes.
They don't have that all-around guy. And if you do, it's Chris Duarte, and those skills just aren't there yet.
Yeah.
And so you have this, like, struggle, and that's, I think, who the Kings thought they were getting when they traded for Chris Duarte. Mm-hmm. They thought they were basically getting, like, the third Martin twin.
Sure.
The Martin triplet.
Triplet?
No, but that's what they were hoping for, right?
Sure.
But it just hasn't worked out, and even though he wasn't horrible last night, I mean, that's where I'm at. Like, on occasion, you're going to get beat by a physical team that comes in, and you're on the second night of a back-to-back, an emotional win against a really good team that you let back in, and then all your starters had to play extra minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Man, these guys played, you know, most of them were at 70 minutes in 2 days.
Yeah, it was a lot. Didn't Domas play 40 minutes last night?
Yeah.
Yeah, 40 minutes. You're in 39.
So what's he at, 76 minutes for 2 days?
77?
Yeah.
That's a lot of minutes consecutively. Yeah, and just, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. There's so many guys on this team who are so skilled offensively, and they have, I don't mean this derogatorily, it's more finesse than what you saw from Miami last night, where when Miami needed a bucket, it was like, okay, hey, here's a sledgehammer, and we're just going to wail away until the ball goes in the basket. And the Kings don't really have that that player, particularly on the perimeter. I think Sabonis is that kind of player inside, but they don't have that perimeter player who's just going to put the ball on the deck and like, yeah, I'm getting to the rack right now.
Yeah.
And I think they desperately need a player with that mindset.
Well, that is why the Miami Heat make it so deep in the playoffs every year.
Yes.
Because they just plug and play, and they have all of these guys who are 6'7", 6'8", physical, athletic.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be great shooters, but they're multi-positional, multi-talented. Like, they just beat you up.
Yep.
And they have a very specific system. What has Eric Spoelstra been there? Like 18 years now?
A long time.
Like, the system is in place to be able to support a plug and play type feel for this team. And then even Kevin Love, like, talk about one of the greatest outlet passers the game has ever seen.
It's ridiculous.
And he still has it. And that's why they're able to push up their offense quickly when he's on the floor, even though they're not like a super fast team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're impressive. They are a team that really, really is well coached and understands their system and understands how to go in and fight.
16 seasons as the head coach of the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
He has had two losing seasons. It's kind of Mike Tomlin-ish. Like, save for the LeBron era where they won 66 games 1 year, 58 games another year. And went to the finals and won a couple finals. Like, say for that area, they're very Mike Tomlin Steelers-ish, where it just kind of doesn't matter what the collection of players looks like. You know what you're going to get from them, and you know that that's going to be a team that's hard to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Heat culture thing is funny, and it's kind of become a meme, but games like last night, it's like, oh, there's tangible proof of it. Like, it's actually...
Well, you see it. I mean, like, the Heat culture is very alive and well.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an incredibly run system with the right type of guys. And the best part about them is that they make some of those players themselves.
Yes.
They go out and they find those players. They dig deep. They go all over the world. They scout lower division colleges. They get guys in their system and they create those players.
Caleb Martin, their three best players last night. Caleb Martin, Jaime Jaquez, and Bam Adebayo. We're safe to say that?
Well, yeah, that and Kevin Love.
And Kevin Love, who's old?
15 minutes.
But guys they brought in, Bam Adebayo, 14th pick. Jaime Jaquez, 18. Caleb Martin, undrafted.
Yeah.
Man, that's
and Highsmith?
Haywood Highsmith. Stand by. Undrafted? Undrafted. Because of course.
Yeah.
And they're just
They're a team that literally made Hassan Whiteside into an NBA player.
Yeah, into a good NBA player.
And got him paid 90 something million dollars. $90 million bucks. 99, whatever it was.
All right, we got plenty more Kings Heat coming up for you. And I don't know if you saw the Monty Williams rant from last night, but it's really, really good.
Yes.
We'll have that for you. Well, also, the Kings don't play tonight, but we'll talk about the West and the games you need to be watching, the games you should be paying attention to, because it is scoreboard watching season here in Sacramento. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're rocking with you till noon on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen.
Moving
brought to you
work.
By Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's fine. If you're new to the show, we just changed studios, or I just changed studios.
If you're new to the show, Kyle is as well.
Changed my mechanics. And I'm struggling with it, coach. I'm struggling bad. It's
Don't put me in, coach. I'm not ready to play.
We'll figure this out. All right. James, if you're new to the show, you may not know that the second segment after a Kings game is where we dive deep on the Kings' previous game. The Kings last night lost 121-110 to the shorthanded Miami Heat. The Kings on the second night of a back-to-back. Let's dive deep on this one with James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Bad.
Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Substandard by most estimations.
Let's get to number one.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you had Kevin Love destroying the Kings on your bingo card, then you are the big winner. The 35-year-old reserve bullied his way to the rim, dominated the Kings, 19 points, 7 rebounds in 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Jaime Jaquez and Bam Adebayo were really, really good as well. That was a gritty performance by a very, very shorthanded Miami Heat team.
Yeah, that was really, really impressive. I figured the Heat would give the Kings a fight. I thought eventually you'd see Sacramento pull away because their talent last night with that version of version of the Heat, I thought would just kind of be a little bit too overwhelming. And frankly, I bought in after the Clippers game that we were going to see a little bit different version of the Kings. And we saw it for that stretch in the fourth quarter. We saw it for the first, whatever it was, 9 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Well, even I think the first two quarters of the game, I mean, the Kings went into halftime leading, right? Yeah. So it's not like they were
No, they were down at half.
Oh, they were, but not by much.
No, it was 65-60. Yeah, they were down 3.5.
Okay, and then they came out and were good in the early third quarter and then got punked. I think the reality of playing against a team like the Heat is so much different than the thought of playing against a team like the Heat. And I know the Kings have notoriously not brought it when teams are missing stars. That's been like a hallmark of this team. But again, I think like you just instantly believe, oh, well, they're missing stars. You're going to win. And then you get into the game and these guys who are getting other opportunities are getting bigger opportunities than they normally get. Like they're ready. They want those opportunities. NBA players should want to take advantage of an opportunity and show that they deserve more minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what you saw. You saw a group of guys that are NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't play like a whole bunch of two-way players. Like these are guys that are NBA players and they still had an all-star. They still had, you know, a really, really nice up-and-coming player and a guy who used to be an all-star.
Yeah.
And they punked you.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Tough. And All right. Think that's kind of the theme that we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. Number two.
Domantas Sabonis extended his double-double streak to 40 games, posted his 21st triple-double, but it wasn't enough. 14 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists. He struggled with Bam, and he turned the ball over four times, which was a theme of the night.
Yeah.
I just thought that, again, the Heat had a very clear plan for Domantas Sabonis,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think the Kings had a very clear plan for Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, he kind of took over that game last night in a couple of spots. He also had a couple of really tough shots.
Yeah.
As well. Hawkins had a couple of tough ones down the stretch, too, that kind of, I think, were pretty demoralizing. The thing that jumps out to me from last night with Sabonis' stat line is that he only took 8 shots.
Yeah.
That is fewer than Fox, Herter, Murray. It was 1 more than Harrison Barnes and 2 fewer than Malik Monk. And he played 40 minutes. I and it's not like he was 1 for 8. He was 6 for 8. Made a 3. Cashed that little 16-footer. I texted you about it.
Oh, yeah.
Got the jab step. Got Bam on his heels. Pulled up from 16. Money. Like, that's... You love to see it. And particularly in the fourth quarter, he took 1 shot.
Yeah. I think that's where you have to look that the zone they were running was built to stop Sabonis.
That worked.
And the other players have to step up in those situations. They have to have more player movement and more ball movement.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it didn't happen. And that's where, again, I think the Kings at certain points look like they're sort of a deer caught in headlights. Like they were confused by what was happening on the court.
Yeah.
And that's what the Heat, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And again, you play them once a year. It's not like you're playing them 5 times or 4 times and you're so used to the zone that you know how to break the zone and you didn't have time to game plan for it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was Domas flashing in the middle, catching the ball, and then...
Everyone like collapses on him.
Two shots. What are you going to do now? 2 shots in 22 second half minutes. Whatever the Heat did worked, and it's something the Kings are going to have to adjust to. Number three.
Let him eat. Keegan Murray came out firing, and the Kings fed the second year forward early. Then they stopped feeding him. Then they started feeding him again. He finishes with 28 points on 10 of 13 shooting, 5 rebounds. He needed more shots when he... Ride the hot hand!
There's no excuse for Kevin Herter shooting more times than Keegan Murray last night.
No, other than that Kevin Herter was flying all over the court trying to get open when everybody else was kind of stuck in mud. That's mm-hmm. the only reason. I mean, he didn't hit, but he had plenty of wide open looks.
Yeah. I'm with you. Nights like last night, there are going to be some nights where Keegan Murray is the defensive guy, and hey, he doesn't really have it going offensively, or maybe Fox and Sabonis are really cooking, or somebody's cooking, and he's going to hang out in the corner, and he's going to take 9 shots. But on nights like last night, he was 6 of 7 from 3, but that 7th one was like a fall away in the corner at the end of the game.
Yeah.
When he's 6 of 6 from 3, and he's 10 of 13 from the field, like, get him the ball.
You know, it's funny, Kyle.
Another really talented score.
We walk out of that game, and everyone is thinking, oh my gosh, look how good Jaime Jaquez is. And he is so good. Keegan Murray had more points. Keegan Murray, like, played really well. He had more rebounds. He had more points.
It's because Jaquez asserts himself in games that in ways that Keegan Murray doesn't.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah.
Like, that's it. Watching Jaquez last night go, hey, I have 15 or 14 in this half. I'm going to keep going to try and close this game. And just taking the ball and putting his head down and getting to the rack and getting to his spots and using his footwork. His footwork's unbelievable, by the way. And finding ways to get open looks. I would love to see that more from Keegan. I know it's not the offense, but man, it feels like it should be sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing I'd point out is, you know, Jimmy Butler's not there. Tyler Hero's not there. Somebody had to step up and be a scorer. And Jaquez, for him to take on that challenge, where the Kings still had all of their scores.
Yeah.
And Keegan kind of gets left out. That's where Keegan needs to be more assertive.
I could not agree more with you. Number four. We got to rip through these last three.
Competed. De'Aaron Fox had solid numbers, but like Sabonis, he struggled with some costly mistakes. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, but his 7 turnovers were absolutely brutal.
Yeah, a couple. The ones that bother me when they are born out of, you know, really fast pace, trying to fit a pass in, and like, it's the lazy ones.
Yeah.
It's the half-hearted bounce pass. It's the skip pass when there's very clearly somebody in the lane. It's those kind of turnovers that are really frustrating.
No, I get that.
Yeah. All right, number five.
Keep fighting. Kevin Huerter didn't have a great shooting night, but he hit a couple of big threes to help us team climb back in. He was a grinder. I thought he was running. Mm-hmm. Like I've heard people talk about this, like, you know, Kevin Huerter out there running laps. It felt like he was, but at the same time, he brought energy. He was moving with like force and with purpose. He just didn't hit the open shots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he hits two more shots, we're thinking a lot more, we're thinking a lot differently about Kevin Huerter's night.
Yeah, and he's playing well enough recently that a night like last night doesn't bother you too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number six.
Malik Monk set his teammates up early, but as the games progressed and you assumed he was going to take over as a scorer, he fizzled. And he finishes with 8 points, seven assists, two steals, but 4-10 from the field, 0-4 from three. The three's on the fritz again. He just didn't look like he had the same oomph that he did the night before, and that's going to happen. And I think it plays into a bigger conversation that he had 8 points. Davion Mitchell had 4 points. Trey Lyles had 5 points. So you had 17 points off your bench, which is just not good enough.
Malik Monk against the Clippers played all 12 fourth quarter minutes. He scored 7 points, dished out three assists in the fourth quarter. 0 fourth quarter minutes last night.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why we gotta hit the break. But that's why I can't bring myself to make any sweeping declarations based on last night, because this is just kind of what this version of the Kings is.
Mm-hmm.
It's some nights you're gonna get a Malik Monk, some nights you're not. Some nights De'Aaron Fox is gonna turn it over seven times. It's just some nights Kevin Huerter's shots aren't going to fall. It's just...
Yeah.
Tough loss.
They are who they are.
They very much are. And who are they? We'll talk about that. And Monty Williams' rant last night was really, really good. We'll have that for you next. And our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game, running out of chances to win a jersey in February. Qualify for that. And a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. We'll tell you who the Player of the Game is next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style, you get quality, you get beeps and boops and dings and whomps, and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I get it right that time. Go me.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I want to put a pin in the Kings conversation for a moment.
Okay.
We'll have the Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for you. And then somebody in the chatty house brought up Jaime Jaquez, and you said something interesting that I want to get to as well. But I need to get to the Monty Williams rant from last night.
Yeah.
Mostly so I can start playing the drops I have from it. If you missed the Pistons game last night against the New York Knicks, the Pistons probably should have beaten New York, a very good New York team, albeit they're a little banged up right now. The Pistons probably should have won that game, but they didn't, in part because of a non-call on Dante DiVincenzo against Isaiah Thomson late in the game, where Dante DiVincenzo looked like one of the finest safeties in all the land and put a really nice form tackle on Detroit's rookie with no call.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit winds up losing the game. They continue to be the worst team in the league. It led Monty Williams to say this after the game.
The absolute worst call of the season. No call. And enough's enough. We've done it the right way. We've called the league. We've sent in clips. We're sick of hearing the same stuff over and over again. We had a chance to win the game, and the guy dove into Asar's legs, and there was a no call. That's an abomination. You cannot miss that in an NBA game. Period. And I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of our guys asking me, what more can we do, coach? That situation is exhibit A to what we've been dealing with all season long, and enough's enough. You cannot dive into a guy's legs in a big-time game like that and there be a no-call. It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it. We just want a fair game called, period. And I got nothing else to say. We want a fair game, and that was not fair. I'm done.
Monty Williams, out.
An abomination.
An abomination.
That was great.
Okay. The NBA officiating is horrible.
It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it.
It's an abomination.
An abomination.
It is an abomination. Like, I watched the Sacramento Kings walk out on the floor last night, and everybody in the entire building knew that Tony Brothers is calling the game, and we're in for erratic, just trash. Like, nothing that makes any sense at all.
No consistency.
It happens in the first 20 seconds of the game or 30 seconds of the game. He calls a very suspect offensive foul on Sabonis, who's setting a screen on the outside for a shooter that's coming that was diving to the corner, right? Offensive foul. What he's doing is he is establishing, hey, Sabonis, you're in my house tonight. This is my game. You're going to abide by my rules. And it ruins everything. Sabonis ends up with 2 fouls in the first, like, 3 minutes of the game because this guy has an ego and can't get out of his own way and shouldn't be officiating NBA games anymore. How many times do we see just horrible officiating?
A lot.
And one-sided officiating.
Yep.
And that's something that, like, the league needs to figure out. And what they need to not do is listen to LeBron James. They need to actually watch footage of a Detroit Pistons team who's fighting and trying to beat the Knicks and like clawing and doing everything. They're a young team. They make mistakes, but you don't bail out the Knicks because they're the Knicks.
Right.
You don't bail out teams because they're playing the Kings.
Right.
That's what it feels like all the time. And it's just like, I totally agree with Monty.
Yeah.
Like, figure it out. Figure out how to make these guys better or find different people.
The fact that so many coaches this year have just so blatantly been willing to wear those fines for their guys. Yeah. You have Monty Williams. We had our guy Darko in Toronto.
This is completely BS.
We had Mike Brown pulled out the computer to show us what he was mad about. This is a massive problem, and I think two things. One, you mentioned it up top there. If that is Asar Thompson at the end of a close game diving into Dante DiVincenzo's legs,
foul.
That is a whistle 100 times out of 100. But the problem is it's not officiated the same way. And what the bigger problem is you have NBA officials after games on Twitter, sometimes in the last 2-minute report, denying things that we all very clearly see.
Yes.
And when you ask the NBA, and Roger Goodell does the same thing in the NFL right now, there's no problem. Our officials are the best in the world. Okay, maybe. That might be true. I'm not trying to say it's easy. Nobody believes that officiating basketball is an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
What is easy is when Team A fouls Team B, it should be a whistle whether Team A is a 60-win team or a 6-win team.
Yep.
It should not be that difficult. But it is, and we see it every single night to the point that you have coaches like, yeah, I'll wear this $50,000 fine to vent my frustration.
It's a complete crap.
It is. Thank you. I would agree 100%. It is a complete crap. I don't know how else to, like, I'm not someone who completely complains about officials all the time. Mm-hmm. And I will also tell you that, like, look, that had nothing to do with whether the Kings won or lost a game.
Yeah, this, like, is a separate conversation.
Yeah, it's totally separate. But there are some nights where there's just no way to get around what's happening on the court. You know, you go up against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Shea gets every single call.
Mm-hmm.
Fox gets smacked in the face. Sabonis gets hit in the head. Mm-hmm. Like, where is a review every time Sabonis gets hit in the head? It's part of the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to look at it and see if it's a flagrant foul.
Mm-hmm.
Where's it at? We see the dude get his contacts knocked out. We see him, like, get popped in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the call? Nothing. Where's the review of the play? So I don't know how else to, like, there needs to be a real moment of clarity with the officiating mm-hmm. crews. That, you know, if you're a bad official, like, I know there was an official that had thrown somebody out a couple of times
mm-hmm.
Of a game. Like, he threw Jokic out of a game, and I can't remember who it was.
I cannot remember either.
And then the stat came out that he's called one playoff series in 17 years. What does that tell you? That tells you that, like, he's someone who doesn't get promoted.
Musa Duggar?
I'm not sure who it was. But I'll just say, like, if you're going to be a guy who doesn't get NBA assignments for the playoffs, then you're basically, like, what's his name in Office Space, where they just keep moving to different spaces, to different places. And
right.
Then, hey, we're going to need to put you in the basement.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you are. You're not mm-hmm. good enough. So mm-hmm. why are we still seeing these guys show up again and again? I don't know. To me, it's not easy to officiate, especially with players yelling at you the whole time.
No doubt.
That's a problem as well.
No doubt.
But you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And just be equitable. Just call it the same way. If you're going to call it,
that's it.
It's like balls and that's strikes. It. If you're going to give the high strike to everybody the whole game.
Today. Yep.
You got the high strike. If you're going to hit the paint and that's okay today, mm-hmm. and maybe I'll give you 3 inches on the outside there. Of the black on the paint of the home plate,
yeah,
that's fine. At least we all know what it is. Like, mm-hmm. establish it and stick to it. With the NBA, that's the problem: is that they establish it for one player, they establish it for one team, and then it's not equitable.
Yeah,
and it plays out in almost every single game.
Yeah, and that can't happen. Like, That obviously can't happen, but my bigger issue is you brought up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of my favorite players to watch. I love
him. Yeah.
But he plays into this. James Harden at his peak really, really did this.
Yeah.
He still does this to a little bit lesser extent.
Trey Young.
There are Luka so many Doncic. Players.
Yeah.
The reason that De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis don't get some of these foul calls is A, because sometimes refs just miss calls. That just happens. Mm-hmm. But B, it's because they play through the contact. If De'Aaron Fox, every time he got hit, threw the ball in the air, threw his head back and threw his arms up, and tried to grift the foul, he would go to the free throw line more. And that's what bothers me, is we're rewarding players not for basketball stuff. We're not rewarding players because, hey, you know what? They just beat that defender. Defender had to foul him to try and stop a basket. Good ball. Here's two free throws.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is. This is, oh, that looked like a foul, so here's a whistle. Like, the refs are so bad that official or that players are figuring out how to game it. And that's not the sport. That's not the point of the game. The point of the game is not to get to the free throw line. The point of the game is to put the ball in the hoop. And sometimes you do well enough that you beat the defender and they foul you while you're trying to put the ball in the hoop, not while you're trying to throw the ball into the rafters to draw a foul.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I commend players who play through that contact. I commend players who don't try and grift the fouls. And it sucks, and I understand it's super frustrating, but I would way rather a player do that than the BS that guys like James Harden and Luka pull.
I agree 100%. It's one of the things that you enjoy about watching De'Aaron Fox play,
mm-hmm.
is that he will yell and demand that he gets a foul call, but it's when he's been hacked repeatedly in a game,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't do the like the Ja Morant ponytail, so he throws it all
right.
over the place.
Right.
So you see it and it's like, oh my gosh, he must have been hit.
Mm-hmm.
No, he just threw his head back because that's what he does.
Right.
So it's really so frustrating. Tough. What I love is when Fox sees that and he starts throwing his head back everywhere and like,
yeah.
Or when he sees Chris Paul flop on the ground and yes. drop on the deck and flop like a right. fish.
Yeah.
And then Fox is sitting there like
Chris Paul
making
is,
fun of him.
I said James Harden and Luka. I need to include Chris Paul in there as well.
Well, I think
an all-time foul grifter.
He's not only like he's like a perpetrator. Like he goes beyond like grifter. Like he's a guy that like not only does he steal all the gold and like the chest, but he also pushes his thing over and breaks the glass so you can't even like it's not even repairable. That's what Chris Paul is. He takes it a step beyond grifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. 20 fouls for the Kings last night, 12 for the Heat. Just FYI. Anyways.
Yeah.
That's James M. Kyle. Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game from last night is appropriate because it leads into what I want to talk about next. Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game, we do this after every single Kings game because our friends at Jiffy Lube hooked us up with 82 $100 gift cards to give away. And then they said, hang on, wait. We're also going to give away some jerseys. So we gave away one last month. Shout out to Carlos E.,
mm-hmm.
our guy. We're giving away one at the end of this month. We're running out of games in this month, though, for you to qualify. So make sure you get in there today. ESPN1320.com. There's a Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page right in the front. You click on that. You're going to enter the keyword Keegan. Just Keegan. K-E-E-G-A-N. Because Keegan Murray is our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game for the Kings last night. 10 of 14 from the field, 6 of 7 from beyond the arc. A perfect 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He scored 28 points. He had 5 rebounds, an assist, and 3 steals, and a block. Filled up the stat sheet and had a really, really nice offensive game. So Keegan is your Jiffy Lube Fast Break keyword. Enter to win a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube and a Kings jersey, which we'll give away at the beginning of next month for the end of this month. Bang.
There it is.
Speaking of Keegan, we were talking at the break about Jaime Jaquez and Keegan Murray. And I feel like this is a really good like representation of what I try to convey about the Kings really as a team, but specifically Keegan Murray as a player. Because you have Jaime Jaquez, who is on his way to being all rookie, and he'll be in the rookie of the year conversation. Not going to win it.
No.
But his name will be in the it'll be like Wemby, Chet, and then Jaquez and some other guys in that next tier, right? So, very good player. Keegan Murray is a better player than Jaime Jaquez is, I believe.
They're different, but yeah.
I believe just overall, if you said, hey,
who's a higher end talent.
Right. Yeah. Every GM, okay. Who are you taking to start a team with?
Yeah.
I'm guessing not all. Most of them are taking Keegan. But the thing that makes Jaime Jaquez such a valuable asset is the fact that he may not be as quote unquote good as Keegan. He may not have the same ceiling, but he winds up being effective because of the style of play, the aggressiveness that he plays with, the headiness that he plays with, the willingness to say, hey, my team needs a bucket. We've just blown a 20-point fourth quarter lead. We need to keep this thing at a couple possessions. It's me. I'm going to go get this basket right now. It's that mindset that sets him apart and makes him a little bit different. And if Keegan Murray had that mindset, you'd be looking at like a perennial all-star. And it's the perfect, like Jaime Jaquez is the perfect player that illustrates like what I want to see more of from guys, not just Keegan, by the way. I want to see more of that from basically everybody on the Kings.
Yeah, it's the try-hard mentality that you see.
Thank you for articulating that better than I could. That
yeah, like when he was coming out of the draft, and again, I always, when I watched him play and I watched footage of him, I mean, first of all, he's got a lot more athleticism than the player I'm going to mention, but his impact on the floor and how he agitates and how he's everywhere all
the time. Don't say it yet. I'm going to write it down.
Okay.
The name I think you're going to say. Okay, go ahead.
The name, probably not. The name that the guy that I watched was Eduardo Nájera.
Not even close.
Who do you have?
Kyle Anderson.
No, because Kyle Anderson.
You said athleticism. You said he has more athleticism, and that
yeah,
and that the player agitates, and I can't stand Kyle Anderson.
I think Kyle plays in a much different space, but the guy that. Like, if you remember Eduardo Nájera, he just ran around, like, punching people and running into people. And, like, you visibly saw him on the court every minute that he was out there. Mm-hmm. And the players that played against him felt him on the court the entire time. They're like, oh, no, here he comes. Mm-hmm. There he is. Ah, he just ran by and hit me.
Yeah.
Like, that is what Jaime Jaquez looked like as a college player. Mm-hmm. And I could definitely see him being a player that just a supreme agitator. It's something the Kings, like, fully need.
The Kings are, bear with me here. They're too likable.
Yes.
Like, they don't have any pain in the asses.
They're too nice. They are.
And I don't like there's so many worse things you can be. but I think that was weird. I don't know if that's my headphones or my microphone. I hope it's just my headphones.
You sound crapping perfectly
out.
Fine.
Okay, good. My headphones are crapping out and I can't hear me, and that's a weird sensation. But anyways. that's what when we talk about the Kings this year and the things that they're inconsistent. And oh, they lost to the Hornets and they lost to the Blazers and they blew this lead and they let this game slip away. It's that. It's they don't have that pain in the ass that just kind of, hey, they need a bucket here. Oh, that guy went and got a bucket. Maybe he only averages 12 for the season, but hey, he had 6 in this quarter. And instead of the Kings trailing by 10, they're only down 4. They stayed in the game. Like, that's the kind of player that I think they desperately need, like we talked about at the top.
Yeah, that's what they have to find. And that's why I've always said, hey, like, go find yourself a Martin Twin. Like, that's how those guys play, you know, and the Kings have had those guys in the past. You know, it's not just that the style of play, it's, you know, they're gritty. They, you know, they typically don't make a ton of money because they don't score a lot of points. Mm-hmm. And so you usually kind of, you know, get somebody like that locked up long term, but they're just super, super impactful. And, you know, like at some point you need a guy who's willing to do all of the dirty work. And it doesn't matter what position the Kings have to like find that guy. It doesn't matter. Like, you just have to find one.
Yeah.
And I just keep saying it again and again. And it's like, you get through a whole entire free agency period and they don't do, they bring in Chris Duarte. You know, they traded for Chris Duarte, who maybe they thought was going to be that guy. But then you get into the trade deadline, you knew you didn't have that guy, and you don't go get it again. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of the same type of player. Like, we just keep saying it. Like, you need somebody who does all of that.
I think what the Kings need to do before or during this draft process, whether they wind up having picks or not, who knows?
Yeah.
But maybe it's undrafted guys. Get 14 of them in a gym and say, hey, just run 3-on-3. Pick teams, half court each side, pick teams, and do it traditionally. Like, hey, me, James, and Jesse, all right, we're gonna run. And D'Lo and KC and Karosh are gonna run. And then we've got other guys over here that are gonna be, and winning team stays on, losing team stays off, maybe you form a new team, maybe you don't. And you watch how they interact in those moments. And you find the guy who everyone hates and who is in everybody's jersey playing really, really high-end defense, and he may or may not be skilled offensively, who knows, but just go get all of the guys who look like that in that environment and bring them in. Just bring them. I don't care what position they play. I don't care what size they are. Just get them in.
Yeah, I think it's something that we saw, like, from when Monty was with the Rockets. They tried to create these players, right? They did find these guys.
Yeah.
And whether it's, like, again, Montrezl Harrell or Tariq Black or Daniel House, like these guys that are physical, and they almost
PJ,
like,
Tucker,
yeah, they almost beat you up and find their way in the league because they beat everybody else up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no one left to play.
Yeah, look at Dylan Brooks.
Oh yeah,
that is Dylan Brooks. Like, let's set aside him being ridiculous, but just the style of that he plays with is very much that.
Yeah, and I think you can find that player without finding, like, a guy who's an a-hole.
Right, who's going to be a problem.
Yeah, you can find that without. You can. I mean, even, like, the Ron Artests of the world, like, it's not easy to find that guy, and it seems like some teams are way better at doing it than others, and I think it becomes, like, sometimes a style of player, because I can tell you, like, Jeff Petrie struggled with this exact problem. Mm-hmm. He always looked for the shooter. He always looked for the multi-positional, multi-tooled shooter, the Pejas, the Hedo Turkoglus. He just kept looking for that player, when sometimes the player you needed was Gerald Wallace, the crash test dummy, that developed into one of those players that was just really good. But he didn't have the natural fluidity to the game or the high basketball IQ when he was young that stood out. And so sometimes it just doesn't work with a team. But that's sort of like the task at hand. Like, Monty McNair has to find, like, one or two or three of these players for this team to be tough and to take that next step. And again, it's Denver has guys like this, and you look around KCP. Oklahoma City, Lou Dort, yeah, like, they have these guys, and, like, how, what do you do? How
Payson
do you
find Wallace this? Too?
Yeah, and those guys, it's. Their style of play becomes contagious, and then everybody's like, "Oh, we got to turn it up because
that's
on the court."
That's what I'm saying. You don't need five of them,
no.
But I promise, watch De'Aaron Fox consistently become a killer if the Kings had one or two of those guys.
Oh yeah,
like that would, because it's there in him. We've seen it, but I think if you add one or two more players who kind of set that standard whenever they're on the court. Mm-hmm. And like you said, maybe they thought it was going to be Chris Duarte. I'm not there. But I think they need that as much as they need athleticism. We've talked about that. As much as they need rim protection and this and that. Fine. But I think there's an attitude and a mindset that when we come in here every couple of days wondering, like, well, what the heck happened in that game?
Yep.
That is the common thread to me. It's not, we've talked about, like, the record in Sabonis triple doubles. It's not that. It's not, oh, De'Aaron Fox was tired. It's not that. It's not, well, Malik Monk's shooting it well, or Kevin Huerter is or isn't shooting well. It's those things are going to go up and down. That's basketball. That's the sport. You're not going to have the exact same game night in and night out. But you can bring a mentality, and I think that's that. Last night, watching that's where it really pinpointed to me what is quote-unquote wrong with the Kings.
No, I think you're probably right. It's just go steal, like, three players from the Miami Heat.
Or don't, like the Lakers tried that and Gabe Vincent hasn't played since October.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's a perfect example where you bring up the Lakers, where they go out and get a bunch of guys who don't necessarily win, who just put up stats.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are those guys. Those guys are all over every blacktop across America. You can go find a guy who can get a bucket.
Yeah.
Go give me the other guy who defends everybody, who doesn't mind somebody in the face, who has pointy elbows.
Too real.
Yeah,
but punching in the face. Okay. Too real.
Well, Kyle, you're our guy like that. You want to punch John Bull in the face all the time.
Boy, do I. Nah, I like John. no Kings game tonight, but we do have some games to watch in the West. We'll give you an updated look at the West standings, what last night's loss meant, and what games matter for Sacramento tonight, and what team Kings fans should be rooting for tonight. We'll tell you that next. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.